Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. I feel God has laid this on our heart. It's sometime our Friday has come to my heart. I think we can relate to the Word of God. I got an echo or something up here. Is it me? Am I echoing? Amen. May not be. Praise the Lord. Old Matthew 4 and about the 17th verse. We'll start by what God's laid on my heart. You know, Jesus has done a lot by parables as he was walking along with the disciples and walking along with the people and preaching. He's done a lot by parables. And when he come to the fishermen, he got on the ground and the level that the fishermen were on. And, you know, and I still feel like today that Jesus speaks to me different than he does a man with 4 or 5 degrees. I mean, you know, I can't understand like that man that's got all kind of education and got all these degrees. But God speaks to me till I can understand it. And maybe it has to come in a parable, or maybe he's got to show me just a little something out there. And I didn't get saved as easy as some people did. And I didn't testify of the saving grace of God the first day I got saved or the second day. It took about the third day for me to step out and stop the bricklayers and the brick mud makers. And I say, I need to talk to y'all before we go to work. So, you know, I wasn't as out forward as I am now, okay? Amen. I kind of held back. I was backward and I didn't know all that was going on. And it's hard to come overnight. It's hard to come from a total drunk to a Christian. Amen. So sometimes we expect too much out of our young Christians, our new converts. And you that's been saved a year cannot know what I know today. I've been through some experiences that some of you 30-year-olds ain't been through. We've not seen hardships here in America. We've not seen hardships like so many of our foreign countries have seen. Like Israel has seen. We've not seen that kind of hardships. So what I want to just preach on is mending our nets. And we'll start about the 17th verse there. And he said, of the 4th chapter of Matthew, and he said, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So he told them on this wise that they understood about the net. They understood about how they caught fish. And he said, if you'll come with me, I'll teach you some new things. I'll teach you how to become fishers of men. And this should be part of my job, part of our deacons, part of our teachers' job is to teach people how to be fishers of men. And some of us have probably never wet a hook or never seen a net or a seine, amen. But glory to God, we need to teach you how to be fishers of men. And he said, they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, so they didn't fool around. They left their nets. And I'm going to tell you what's so bad about us today, glory to God. It's too many times we hang around our old places. Too many times we hang around the old things that eat us up before. And maybe I testified to it, I don't know, last week, or it might have been in prison, I don't remember. But I thought about, it scared me to death. And the boy's name was Cullen Gay, and that wrote from the Bible to the bottle to the Bible. And he come to me, and I didn't even know he drank. And I just had got saved, and he come at the old Shell station, and he said, I got a pint of good white liquor. Don't you want a drink? And it scared me to death, because I'm going to be honest with you. I wanted a drink. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. I hadn't got over the alcohol like some does. Mine didn't happen instant. I'm a slow grower, glory to God. But I knew one thing for sure. I couldn't go back in that path that God had just delivered me out of. And I said, no, I don't believe so right now. I didn't tell him I was saved and all this good stuff. I said, not right now. I said, let me get away from here. That's what I wanted. Amen. I didn't need to stand there and try to give a testimony. Amen. And my mouth watering over the things of the world. I need to over overcome some things of the world till my mouth ain't watering over them. Then I can testify of the goodness of God. I'm telling you today, I've seen them sit right here in this church and testify what God has delivered them from. Amen. And they're right back in the same old hell holes that they was from the beginning. Sometimes we don't grow up enough to give our testimony. We've not exercised our faith enough. We've not seen the marvelous work of God. We've not prayed enough. We've not read enough. Amen. And them old things will eat us up again. I'm going to tell you, we preached one time, the serpent don't care who he bites. Amen. He's out there lingering to drag you down, to stop you, to break you down. He's never give up on me. He still thinks he can get me back. He still thinks he can make me quit preaching. He still thinks he can make me quit praising God. But I'm going to tell you something today. Honey, I've got something in the basket. Glory to God. He's greater than anything the devil has ever offered me. Some of y'all can witness what I'm saying today. That the devil took you right back to the spot you was in. And even worse, honey. It's time, glory to God, that we don't just tell others. We need to protect ourselves. We need to watch what we're saying and who we're talking to and what we're doing, glory to God. Because the devil will set a trap for you. He will break you down. Now let's read this verse here. And he said, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren. He said, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee and their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And that's the message that God has laid on our heart today. He saw them mending their nets. Amen. And let's read on what the Word of God said. If you use your net, it'll wear down. There'll be a hole in it. Some things will happen in your net if you're not very careful. And he said, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses. And I thought about with that net, and I've done a little training in Yakin River in my younger days, and I've watched them at the ocean and bring those nets in and how they catch all of those little fish. But if they come a hole in our net, and if we've used our net as long as I have, I've been using my net 51 years, amen. So it needs some repairing. It needs some mending, amen. Are they some ropes broke? Are they some leaves of the things of this old world and the old scum? Y'all know what the old scum is there in the ocean and around the edges, and it'll build up on your net, and the net finally gets so heavy you can't pull it like you used to. Amen. And then a hole will come in it because of the pressure of the back pressure on it. And if there's no back pressure and the water of the Holy Spirit of God flowing through that net, amen, if the Holy Spirit of God ain't flowing through that net, then there's nothing to catch the fish. The fish will swim right by if it's just an old solid bar. But if it's a net that is full of, and been cleaned and been mended and been fixed and ain't got no holes in it. Come on, church, we got too many holes in our life today. We got too many places, amen, for us, those that we just about called, those that we just about won to the Lord, those that just about made, who was it, old King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then there's a hole in the church net. There's a hole, glory to God, where he slips right through and the devil catches him right back. And he goes out and swims in the ocean of sin, sometimes to never come back, amen. Sometimes one time is all we ever have a chance. That's that big fish, amen. Glory to God. Sometimes it's one chance. I'm going to tell you something. When the old preacher come up to me sneaking like a hog, been drunk all day and all night, fishing, glory to God, and fighting roosters and messing in the things of the world, he had one chance to hug me around the neck and say, I love you. Glory to God. Because I wasn't about to hang around there. I knew what the Spirit of God was. I knowed I was going to get hooked if I kept hanging around there. Because I knew I was a sinner. And I knew I was on my way to hell. And I needed Jesus. Amen. I knew that, so I wasn't going to hang around there. But he hooked that one arm around my neck, glory to God, that went with me day and night for 2 or 3 months, amen. Couldn't get drunk, couldn't get satisfied, couldn't get no peace till I said, yes, Jesus, hanging around the commode. Yes, I need you, glory to God. And I'm going to tell you something. If we use our net, we got to go back and mend it. Listen to what I'm saying today. Some of us have run, but you're one of them, and I'm one of them. We've run, and tried to get somebody else in and got a hole in our net, amen, until we couldn't catch them when we got there. We forgot where we went, amen, and we went back on scripture that we remembered instead of what God give us, amen. God's got a plan for every day, for everybody, and they, some of the rest of you needs to get up and start using your net, amen. We're in a land today, honey, that needs the word of God. We're in a land today that is void of understanding. We're in a land today, I saw on Facebook, I thought left our church, separated from their family, amen, and living with another man, and put on Facebook, I'm praying for you. Bless God, they can't pray for themselves. How can they pray for anybody else? America is deceived today. I'm going to tell you, you need to come out from among the world and be a prayer warrior. Be a soldier, glory to God, that cares about everybody. Not a respecter of person, but love everybody equal, and hug everybody equal, and get them into the big family of God. Get them into the net of God, that the devil can't get them. Honey, we that are stronger need to bear the infirmities of the weak, honey. We've got weak Christians out there. I'm going to tell you, you take a sick Christian, one that their body is going away, they're a weak Christian. It makes it harder and harder for them to believe in God. It makes it harder and harder for them to understand the things of God. I've been sick, neighbor. I'm going to tell you, there's been a few times that you all carried me when I couldn't walk myself, when I had so many problems. I was thinking, why did God establish the church? So you could help me and I could help you and they could help us all together and be soldiers for the glory of God. Honey, we don't send one to the battlefield. I get 4,000. We send them all to the battlefield. We need to be in the battlefield for the Lord. We need to mend our nets. We need to mend our nets. You can find these scriptures in 2 or 3 places, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I think this is maybe the only place that it said they were mending their nets. We can go to another place and we can find, without a doubt, Luke 5:7-11. Let's read that. Luke 5. Go back up about 7. And they beckoned with their... That ain't right. Yeah. And they beckoned unto them their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." I'm going to tell you, honey, when we see the working of God, listen, when you see the working of God in Freddie, when you see the working of God in Andy, I'm going to tell you something, honey, we'll fall down at the feet of Jesus. And he said, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And I'd like to tell you something today. If you're a sinful man that's never been born again, you know it. Hey, God knows it. And it'll leak out finally till the whole world will know it. It'll be shouted from the housetop. If we're playing, we join the church, amen, and we're still a sinner. And that happens, honey. We've been down to the creek and we've been baptized, but we're still sinners. I'm going to tell you, that's why we can't quit cussing. That's why we got to have a little drink every now and then to fit in with the crowd. That's why we don't mind cheating a little bit. That's why it don't bother us to lay out of church. Come on, honey, glory to God. We've lied about coming to the house of God time and time again. We said this one's sick, that one's got trouble, got some things I got to do. All we've done is lied to the Holy Ghost fire of God. I read about a man and a woman that lied to the Holy Ghost fire of God, and they fell over dead. And before they got him buried, she fell over dead. Amen. And they buried them both. How about today, if we made excuses and lied to God, what if we all died? Amen. What if we died that had made excuses? I've made excuses to God. I'm going to tell you where I'd have been. I'd have been dead and in hell, but God spared me. We need to quit making excuses. Honey, I'd have loved to stay to bed. Not this morning. I feel too good this morning. Amen. I got up feeling good this morning. But there's mornings I'd like to lay in bed. I'd like to scrooge up to Janet and just stay there till 10 o'clock. Amen. But glory to God. I'm glad I'm in the house of God today. I feel better than laying in bed. I feel better than taking a trip today. I feel like being in the house of God, where the Spirit of God is, and where my help is, and my brothers and my sisters, and a smiling face every now and then. Woo, and being hollering, preach it, Bill. I'm glad, glory to God, we can be in abundance of the mercies of God. We can be together with God. We can be together with God's people. How about it, Bobby? Didn't he go on the operation table with? Woo! I'm glad, glory to God. When the trouble comes to our house, that we've got a God that'll go with you. My God ain't never been too busy. I've known him 51 years personally. Personally, I've known Jesus Christ 51 years. He ain't never been too busy. He didn't always answer what I wanted to hear. He didn't always make me like him. Amen. It hurt my feelings when I found out how sorry I was. Amen. But he's never left me. He was there knocking on my door when I was lazy. He said, get up. Amen. When I didn't want to, he said, go on. I ain't got it. He said, I'll be with you. I'll go with you. I'll take care of you. Amen. Where was I at? Over here in Luke 5 and there. Yeah, about 7. When Peter saw it, he fell down on his knee. Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man of God. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, of the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Amen. He said, listen to that. And he was also James and John and Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from therefore, henceforth, thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their net ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I believe John tells us that this was about 253, I believe I'm right, you have to look it up. 253 great fishes that they caught in these nets. And when Jesus come to him in another place, and he said, what's the use to go, Lord? I believe that's in Luke. He said, what's the use to go, Lord? He said, I fished all night and ain't caught nothing. Come on, church. Ain't that where we've been? Amen. I fished all night and ain't caught nothing. I've been out there all day and ain't nothing happened. The fish ain't biting. Why are you coming and telling me to go out there and testify one more time? What's the use, Lord? So that's what Peter was thinking. And he told him, I got the preach right over there. Right at this place on the Sea of Galilee. In 1995. Hallelujah. He said, cast your net on the other side. You know, sometimes we've got it on the wrong side. Amen. But we're doing good. We're praying. We're paying our tithes and we're going to church pretty regular. We're doing pretty good, Lord. Don't you understand that I fished and I fished and I fished and I'm getting some age on me and I'm wore out. He said, put it on the other side. He got to old Peter, amen. Old Peter got down there. He said, get away from me, Lord. Get away from me, Lord. This man's done figured out everything that's going on. And when he looked and he couldn't even get the nets in by himself. And the other ship had to come. And there was abundance of fish. You know, they were doing this to make a living. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm doing this to try to make it to heaven. Amen. Amen. All I'm trying to do is be faithful. I can't work my way in. Don't misunderstand that. But I'm trying to be faithful. That's my duty. That's my duty to be faithful to God. And he said, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Are we guilty? Have we forsook all? I remember as a new Christian, I wanted to do. And I was in a church up in Virginia, and it busted. It busted down to 7 people. It busted. I wanted to do something. I didn't know what to do, but I had a desire, and ordained as a deacon and the first deacon in that church in 1968. And I had a desire, and I thought, what do I need to do? And the Lord said, go over here and fish a little bit. Go over yonder and fish a little bit. By the time I got through about five families, I found out where the trouble was. Same one for every one. Don't you be the one that starts running them off from Mount Vernon Church. Hello? With your self-will, your stubbornness, and ain't going to bend, and ain't going to bow, ain't going to serve God yourself. Amen. Don't sit in here and stir up trouble. Amen. God will point you out and eat you up.
Amen.
You can't do it. I'm going to tell you, problems come to that lady's house. Problems come to that lady's house. Oh, I even talked to her nephew a while back. Problems come to that lady's house. Don't you mess with the house of the living God. Don't you mess with God's people. Hey, man, we better leave God's work alone. Hey, we don't need to go into the Word of God and try to change it to fix ourselves. Hey, man, I've seen too many times we've tried to alter the Word of God. Oh, we're carrying the King James Version, but we're trying to alter the Word of God. And it's so easy to do. Let me turn back to Matthew. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I hope we can understand this net. I don't know, but for my part, these boys was making a living on this. And if they let a hole get in their net, amen, their fish was going right through that net. It was going right through and back out into the sea of the world. And I'm going to tell you the same thing today. Honey, if we go out there and we work to see one convert, it talks about one proselyte, and we make them twofold the child of the devil herself. Because we ain't right with God. Because we try to bring them in and we tell them they're all right. Honey, if you're all right today, you need to tell me and God you're all right. Amen. Not deceive yourself. Let me say this again. I done said it. But when you can sit in this church and go back out and live with a woman or a man, go ahead, and still think you can pray for somebody, you tell me you ain't deceived. You're deceived. It ain't the Word of God. There's no place in the Word of God that'll back that. Because we've come against what the Word of God says. Amen. I've seen two or three lately. I've been thinking about this. Call them, tell them to just shut me off. Don't pray for me. They're wasting their time anyhow. But we want to be seen. How many of you have ever seen on there on Facebook? Yeah, come on. That net that's out there in the world. And that Facebook. And you say, I'm praying. Are you? Do you quit what you're doing and going? I've tried to be careful of this thing. Don't put on there, I'm praying if I ain't. And it's going to take more than a thought. It's going to take more than two words to be prayer. It's going to have to be the sincere desire of the heart. Somewhere we're going to have to steal away. I thought about our old buddy. They just brought Ed Lyons. They just brought him back to a hospice home. And some have said, we're praying. Have we prayed? I'm going to tell you, they need more than a make-believe prayer. Hey, we need more than a make-believe church. We need prayer. I mean, if my Janet is laying over there dying, don't put on there you praying for her if you ain't right with God. But you get right with God and pray for my darling wife. I mean, this thing's serious today, church. Can we see each other's problems? Sure. Let's get concerned about each other. We got a you got a problem, honey? I have two. Old boy said my house too.
Right.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of them.
Right.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of problems. And they build up, and y'all ain't exempt. You got problems. I got things I thought would never slip in, and there it is.
There it is.
There it is.
Right.
To tear you down. Come back from a jail just a shouting, or come back from a church service just a shouting. Tell you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Everything is all right. Everything is on fire. Amen. And then everything blow up.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, jump up. Jump up at 6 o'clock in the morning with a zeal to go to the prison to preach the Word of God, and you ain't got no water. And it's your time to preach, and your beard's out. It's still out, ain't it? Amen. Glory to God. But God will provide. I'm telling you, whatever it takes, Satan will do it to hinder your life. Some of you ain't been through no problems. Amen. Some of us ain't sat on wooden benches with splinters in them. Some of us ain't been through the hospitals. Some of us don't understand. That's why Jesus come down here and walked in the flesh. That He could show us He knew what it was. Matthew 13, about 47, let me turn back over here. I don't know why I had just never seen this. Matthew 13 and 47, I wanted you to turn there. I'll give you a little bit of time. 47th verse. And He said, again, the kingdom of God, this is the seventh mystery that He gave. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. So, how about, wasn't it good for Him to go tell them and explain to them about the net? And He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. Didn't say it was a net, but it's like unto a net. And if there's holes in it, if there's misconception in it, if there's deception in it, if there's misrepresenting the Word of God, honey, it's holes in our net. I'm telling you, we're void of understanding today in our church world. I'm not smart. All I've got, God has given it to me. I need to go to school. I need to go back now. And when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So He said, the kingdom of God is like a net. And He said, when they brought it to shore, and I'm sure there was some of those, what do we call them, seaweeds? And the slime that's in the sea, or the slime that's in the ocean that we don't have in our creeks up here. And it was hanging on the net. And I'm sure it brought in some sticks. And I'm sure it brought in some leaves. And I'm sure it brought in some stuff that wasn't godly. This brought in some stuff that wasn't fish, something that they could sell. So it said they separated it and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. He said, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angel shall come forth and silver. You know what silver means? Bless God, that's cut off. Anybody got a better definition? Silver, to cut off. Sever the wicked from among the just. Can I tell you today, we are still living the good among the bad. The just with the unjust. And He said when the net was cast out, it brought them all in. But maybe God is going to do a separation. I'm going to tell you it happened in Israel, and it's going to happen in America. And I believe the saddest thing, I was sitting there this morning trying to finish studying and to get my thoughts together. It's getting hard to get my brain thinking. Getting hard to get it together. But I thought one of the saddest things that's ever been is I thought I was a Christian, Lord. Don't you remember in 1968 when I got saved? Lord, don't you remember I went to church faithful for a little while. I served You and then I got hurt. You know why I quit church. Lord, don't you understand? I'm afraid He does. I'm afraid He does. I believe He'll look at me and say, Bill, have you forgot I went to the cross? I went on to the grave. And they pierced me. They talked about me. They made fun of me. Have you forgot what I've done for you? Church, have we forgot what it's like to live in a free nation? I thought I used to be afraid of storms, but if I'd have never woke up out of that storm last night, it wouldn't matter. That's what I'm talking about, peace at 12 o'clock. The storms we're in, I can't change them. Terry, you can't change yours. But I can tell you what I can do. I can be there fighting and praying, giving God praise and honor for what He's done for me. He said, I'll take care of it. He's going to be the separator. There's going to be a separation in our homes. One will be left and the other taken. They're going to wonder where we went. where we went. So every old person ain't saved.
Come on.
Because mama has cooked and made beds and darned your shoes and darned your socks and polished your shoes don't mean she's saved. Because she's the best sweet tater soccer maker in town don't mean she's saved. You must be born again.
Amen.
Some of the great surprises in my life, James Callahan, was when I found out there's old folks sitting in the nursing home that ain't never been saved.
Right.
That daughters and sons thought, how about Miss Cox, that we just done the funeral. I'm satisfied there was something lacking in her life that didn't come along till she was 90 years old. She said, I never wanted to testify. Sometimes I didn't want to talk to people. She was a workaholic. I remember that without a doubt. She was a worker. But there was something lacking in her soul. At 90 years old, a deacon's wife, one that went to church all of her life that I knew anything about, come here 27, 28 years here, and then said, oh, I got saved. I got saved. So don't take it for granted that everybody's all
right.
I know you like to look at your little boy and say, he's all right with God. He works and he pays his own way and he ain't never given me no problem. I'm going to tell you something. He must be born again. I'd like to tell you something else. So they come to the altar at their 6 years old and said, I got saved and go live in the world. Amen. We better watch that. We better watch that. Sin is sin, honey.
Right.
The devil is deceiving our people today. If you thought with any idea that you might have a chance of dying and going to hell, you'd bust the doors down to get in the house of God. You'd run over the biggest man here, amen, to get to the altar to get your sins under the blood. But Satan has said, you've got time. There's nothing wrong with your life. Go ahead and live like you are. You're young, amen. You're young and you ain't going to die. Just go on. Every day, I believe they said every 2.5 seconds, somebody dies in America. Somebody nice. I thought Australia, last I heard, was over 2,000 homes gone. Acres and acres. That's a small thing of what hell's going to be like. I mean, that's just not a handful of what hell's going to be like. And he said, we jump over into Matthew 13. And I'm going to read it again. I think I need to read it again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered on every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good and the vessels and put the bad away and cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among them and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Have we understood all of these things? I need to go into the old Bible, and I ain't going to take it but just a minute. But I want us to think about, Jesus said that the heavens is likened to a net. And the net of heaven covers everything. And the net said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. I'd like to get this across, like the roof here. It's got us all covered. But I'm talking about a net that's sent out of heaven. And the word is spread out. And God's wanting to bring them in. God's wanting to bring them in. And there's going to come a separation day. God's wanting to bring them in. And then I thought about, I believe my email address, I'm really good on this, but I think it's Siri.net. And I thought about, as they told me in Colorado Springs, Colorado, that they got our message. A boy in prison said, my brother got the message in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And then they tell me about the World Wide Web, and I don't understand all this. I'll be the first to tell you. But I'm going to tell you something else. I don't quite understand the heavens being like a net, how it can cover everything. I'm just a little dumb boy. But can I tell you, Satan is setting up something just like God set up.
Right.
Satan is trying to set up How many of us spend more time on the World Wide Web or net than we do in God's net?
Right. Help him, Lord. Amen.
I know for a fact, I was in a service and my phone messed up. How much I depend on it. I got the old preacher there. He said he'd fool with them a little, couldn't fix it. You know where I went on a Saturday? I need to have been home studying. I went to Carolina West. I said, ma'am, fix my phone. This thing's crazy. It's got foreign language on it. I can't even talk English. We fix this thing. How many hours and days did I lay brick beside of a wall without a phone? How many days did I plow corn right up here in this field for George Shropshire behind an old mule, didn't even have one at home? Amen. So is that going to change my heartbeat? Not if I don't let it.
Right. Amen.
But I...
Help him, Lord.
I seen them run out the door. I've left my phone. It don't matter if they got their britches on, their shirt on, or one shoe. I've left my phone. I've got to go back to the house. Hello, Miss Perlin. We come down the road the other day. Starting the church late. I've left my phone. I need to go. I need my phone. Who can call me? Mine's in the car. That's all I need to be in here. And they say, beep, beep, beep. Bill Spurling, there's just been a wreck down the road and we need you. I'm preaching, I'm sorry. Can you call me back later? You should have been in church with us and you wouldn't have wrecked down there. Hello? We think we've got too important. Come on, church. We think we got too much security. 911, come and get me. You can die before 911 comes. We better be calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm preaching us the truth. If I knew more about the World Wide Web and the net, I'd preach more about it. But I'm telling you, it's setting up and it's drawing people's minds. Some of y'all can't even come to church. You're so important. You can't even come to church and sit an hour and a half, 2 hours without your phone. Hello? But I've got mine on silent or beep or vibrate. You tell me you can keep up with what I'm saying and your phone vibrating on your hip. Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead, Bill.
Come on, church.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. What if old boy in August operating on my hip, and I was asleep, my back numb or whatever they had me knocked out. What if I'd have just jumped up and said, quit this, doctor. I got to talk. Now, this is gossip from the church. Yeah. Said, did you know Sister Ledbetter's daughter's pregnant? Boy, it's really important. Sister Ledbetter ought to be in church praying.
Right.
Amen. Amen. What am I telling us? Larry, some of your calls ain't worth a hoot.
No. Amen.
Sometimes when you call out, it might not be worth much.
Right.
That's all of us.
Amen.
Don't we play games?
Amen.
I've got on a worldwide net that's aggravating people. But are we that important? I'll go to Todd or Butch or Melissa or somebody. I don't know how to do it. They caught me sitting in Harrisburg, Virginia. Melissa put me a Bible app on there. I was sitting there in my jogging breeches or my walking breeches or sleep pants, whatever you want to call them. They don't jog much. Trying to figure out about the King James Version of the Bible. And that's all good. Don't get me wrong. But some of his Facebook is junk. Amen. We need to shut some things, come into the house of God with our mind to serve God. What if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl sitting here lost, and their next step would be in the middle of hell? And I was getting a vibrate on my phone. That's more important because it'll get your attention. Can God get our attention anymore?
He will.
I say, TJ, order me some hubcaps from my old pickup. I'll pay you. Went to Janet's brother and I said, this needs something in this carburetor. Can you order it off of the Wild World? Well, I need to tell him about Jesus. Am I getting through?
Amen.
I'm going to go to Habakkuk and I'm going to read, and I ain't going to preach. I'm just going to read, okay? Habakkuk in the old Bible. This is, I guess, the only time Habakkuk's mentioned. A little prophet that God spoke to. And I better start about the fourth verse. I'm going to read it quick. First chapter of Habakkuk. Therefore the Lord is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Is that not what's happening in our country today? The Lord is letting it go on. He can stop it, but He's letting it go on. Why? Because we've backed up on God. The fifth verse said, behold you among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your day which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And he said in the sixth verse, he was telling Habakkuk, said, I work a work that you won't even believe. The sixth verse said, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. Do you know a bitter and a hasty nation? That it don't bother to kill their own people. That it don't bother for them to tie a bomb backpack and walk into a place. I remember right after we went through Tel Aviv in Israel, there was a suicide bombing right there that killed several people. So you don't know in any congregation anymore where there might be a suicide bomber. We just don't know. And he said, they're a bitter and a hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land. They're not just in one place. He said they're going to be everywhere. To possess the dwellings that are not theirs. He said they are terrible. The Chaldeans are terrible. And dreadful, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. Terrible, they're dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards. Man, I thought about that it come right on down to our time. What comparison is a horse to a tank anymore? Or what comparison is a horse speed to the cars that we've got today? Let me read that. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. More fierce than the evening wolves. I thought about, what was that, Wolf Lair over on 601? Is it still open? Praise the Lord. And their horsemen shall spread themselves. And their horsemen shall come from far. And he said, they shall fly as the eagle that hasteneth to eat. So an eagle coming out of a buzzard, but it says eagle here, swarming down on dead prey. And how fast it is. And I thought, there was nothing in this time that was as fast as our jets and our airplanes today. At the speed that they can fly, 600 to 700 miles an hour and then more, shall fly as the eagle that hasteneth to eat. And he said, then shall come all for violence. They shall all come for violence. Their faces shall sup up at the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity of the sand. They shall scoff at the kings. Listen to me, church. Is this not the day and hour that we're living today? I know this happened. I know the children of Israel, and I know they were bankrupt, and all the well-bodied, able-bodied men that was able to work went down in Babylon for 70 years. I know that. All of this happened. The only ones that got to stay in Jerusalem was the old quacks and the old folks that wasn't able to help or to do anything. They got to stay there. And they shall scoff at the kings. Trump's not our king, but he's our president.
Amen.
And the devilish media is putting it in our minds to make us doubt on some things. And I'll say he's one of the poorest speakers that I've ever heard besides myself. But can I hold that against a man? Maybe God put him there. He did. I read one old Jewish monk, and he said that Trump, over all the years, put the embassy in Jerusalem. And he said from that nobody else would do, that other nations was putting their embassy in Jerusalem. So if we put our good work into the work of God, maybe somebody else will see there's a need. There's a need to go. There's a need to preach the Word of God. There's a need to visit the sick. There's a need to knock on doors. If we studied the Word as much as we take time to eat, we'd be soldiers. Hello? And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride or tear down every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over, let's wipe them out, and offend, imputing this to the prayer unto his God. Not the real God, but they're giving their God. Islam, for instance. They're giving power to the recognition to their God. Said they'll wipe you out. Said they'll pass over, they'll offend, imputing this, his power, unto his God. Said, look what I've done. I'm a Chaldean. I walked right through that nation and beat them down. Look what I've done. I've sold, I've built bigger, I've made more, I've done better, I hadn't had no problem, I'm healed. Look at this, I'm going to give my God praise. I'm going to give my God, not the God that they're talking about, but my God praise for what he's done.
Right.
Can you remember where you was at when you got saved? Some of you were goody-two-shoe people, but most of us were scums. Most of us didn't fit in. Most of us had addiction. Some of us didn't admit them, but we was in trouble. So we was a nobody. So what can I do without Jesus moving my arm? What can I do without Jesus pumping my blood through my veins? What can I do without the breath of fresh air? God blowing into my nostrils and giving me another breath of fresh air. So how can I impute this into my gods? It's got to be my God. The God of heaven. The God of all creation. And he said, are there not from... Habakkuk said to the Lord, he said, are there not from everlasting... I'm hurrying. I promised y'all I wouldn't preach. I can't hardly help it. O Lord my God, my Holy One, we shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. There are of power, there are of purer eyes than to behold evil. Habakkuk's uplifting the Lord, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest the tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he? When the wicked devour the man that's more righteous than he? And it's happening today in our land. We see it all around us. And make us men as the fishes of the sea and the creeping things that have no rule over them. So they beat the righteous man down to as the fishes of the sea. They have no rights. They have no speaking power. They're just a nobody. Ain't that what the Bible's saying? It's happening today. They take up all of them with the angle. They took up all of them with an angle. You know what an angle is? It's a hook. It's a hook. And I thought with our system today, and thank God for our taxes, we had to have it. Render unto Caesar what Caesar's, and to God unto God. But neighbor, I'm going to tell you, they'll have no pity sake on you. They'll come and hook you.
Amen.
They'll take everything you got. The power company will let you go so long, they'll come and hook you and unhook you and break you down. And catch them in their nets. What did he say? He'd catch them in their net. How many? I know a lady. $400,000 in credit card debts. Why? Because we drank, we partied, we vacationed. Come on, church. What have we wasted this year playing games? They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they, you know, it tickles the world to death to see another church sitting empty. Another Sunday night service cut off. Another Wednesday night crowd said, we just can't get them there. Who's winning? They have hooked us into believing there's no need to come. Wednesday night was important 51 years ago. Bless God, it's important now. Amen. Sunday night was important 51 years ago. It's important now. Amen. I talked to one right after another that we just dropped off services. I'm talking about big churches. We've been hooked by the lies of Satan, by the deception of Satan. Amen. And then the worldwide net. TV may be the beginning. How many hours have we sat before the TV? I've got to, if I sit down in front of it, I go to sleep. Therefore, they sacrifice into their net. How about Apple? What is that, Apple computer? iPod? He said, therefore, they sacrifice into their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. I thought about neighbors, and it bothers me. But I thought about some holes in our net, as God is not first. And I wrote down 4 or 5. I said, God is not first in our lives. God's house is not the most important place in our life. It's not the center of our conversation. I dare say, I know you won't have many talking to you if you talk about the Lord. You won't have many friends coming banging on your door if you talk about the Lord. But if I talk about all these places we can go, let a new place open. Oh, did you hear when Cracker Barrel opened 3 years ago or whatever it was? Cracker Barrel has come to Mount Airy. Can I tell you something else? Cracker Barrel will leave. God will be with us. Heaven and earth pass away, but my word endures forever. We've not been faithful. We've been selfish. We want it our way, and we pout if we don't get it our way. And pride has eaten America up. If you surveyed, and I don't know how, but if you surveyed, at least 90% of the people don't believe they'll be in any trouble. Because God is too good a God. Why don't we read the Old Testament with His own chosen people and the problems that they went through? Amen. About the children of Israel, 20 years down in Egypt. Could have made a journey in a month. And sanded around 30 years in the wilderness, muttering and complaining. What are we doing in Mount Vernon today? Muttering and complaining. We're not faithful. We don't see nothing we do wrong. Oh, I deserve this. And there's no compassion. How many has lost compassion in the last year? Well, won't y'all be honest to me? I have. I thought, what's the use? We need to mend our nets. There's too many souls dying and going to hell.